Hey guys, and welcome to the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. The first podcast to bring you the local fishing report for Alabama's lakes and rivers, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm your host, Nick Williams, and this week's show is brought to you by... Alrighty guys, welcome back to another week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. Kicking us off this week, we're checking in with Lee Pitts. Lee, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing good, enjoying some of the sunshine.
Well, I'm glad you're getting it because it's overcast. I was out deer hunting this morning. It was so foggy. I ended up turning off the river I was navigating, got lost in a side channel for a minute because I was just following the tree line. And next thing you know, that don't look right. That tree ain't supposed to be there.
We had that Saturday and Sunday here. So this morning we got a little break out of it. But like you said, I had clients all weekend and we just kind of had to sit still a time or two to get my bearings right where I could see the tree line.
Yeah, that's it. It was rough, man. Like no moon, foggy, and just not a star in the sky. Nothing. I mean, it was just inky, foggy black out there. So didn't help. You turned your lights on, try to see. I got a flood lamp on the front of the boat, and you turn it on, and you're like, well, that's worse. Like I got a real good view of the fog blocking my way now.
Yeah, it's like that, but that just made it worse.
That's it, man. I tell you what, too, it's been warm like that. We had all them blizzards come through here. I was talking to a lady earlier, talking about getting snow all the way down in Pensacola. They got snowed out of their flight coming back from Cancun for a little vacation. Ended up having to fly to Montgomery and pay a taxi to drive them to Pensacola. And
wow,
it took them like 7 hours or something because the roads were in so bad a shape. But you wouldn't know it from the weather today because it's T-shirts and shorts weather, man. I was just out there cleaning my car.
I'm telling you. Had to stop
and come in, keep from breaking a sweat.
Well, we just got out. Like I said, me and my buddy are out kind of checking some other places up here, and we found some 62-degree water today. So, you know, which it was back in some backwater and back in some places where the sun had been on it. But for this time of year, that's just kind of unheard of up here, too.
Yeah, no, down here where I'm at, too, last weekend I was fishing with a guy, and the warmest we ever found it was about 45, so that's crazy. You get a week in a 20-degree temperature change.
I'm telling you.
Well, what's it been like? What's the bite been like?
You know, it's one of those things, just like you said, the weather has played such a part in it. We've still got fish. And today we could go to the bigger creeks. You know, I'm fishing Weiss and Ely Henry this time of year. That's my two big lakes that I'm fishing right now. And even on the main river, the bigger creeks that we go to, the fish are still 20, 25 feet deep. Vertical approach going down. You know, we're taking some of these. Garland's come out with this new, you know, the head turner that's got some little blades on it. And you can, instead of jigging a spoon up and down, we can put some of these Bobby Garland baits on that, and it gives it a little extra flash to it. But we're vertical dropping in 25, 30 foot of water, and then you can get up in some of this shallow, skinny water, and the sun's been on it, and they're in 4 and 5 foot stumps. So it's kind of crazy. There's a mixture of two different approaches that you can go to. And matter of fact, the last 2 days, I've been catching fish longline trolling. So you've got a little bit of everything going on. Some of the fish, I don't know if it's the different waves in it or what's going on. Some are still out there super, super deep in those winter haunts, just kind of hanging out. They're just holding, you know, to that cover, holding in some of these eddy spots. Other fish are making that move. They're getting up in these shallows, and it's just we got about three different things just working right now.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, sounds to me like I guess it's underway. It's coming. They're transitioning is what it sounds like to me.
It is, and the fish we're catching, it's a mixture of black and white crappie right now, but you can tell they're pale. They're just now starting to come up. You know, these fish that have laid out there deep all winter, they're going to be real, real pale color. They don't have those vivid colors to them that we're known for up through here, but as long as they're biting and we're putting them in there, hey, they still eat the same.
That's right. I like looking at a good, pretty colored up fish as much as the next guy, but they all turn the same color when you fry them in peanut oil.
You got that right.
Well, what you thinking, you know, coming up, like talking about catching them shallow, That's always my favorite. That's when I catch the bulk of my crappie down here. That's always the first little wave of fishing that I get into, it seems like, is going out there and working some of the shallower backwaters that we get up here when they spawn. Talk to me a little about what's your favorite way to work that shallow water for them crappie when they start coming into spawn.
You know, we do a lot of long line trolling here. It's one of those things that when they get back, we've got a lot of creek channels, a lot of, little depressions and some high hard spots out here. So we can cover a lot of water doing the trolling. But I still like to, when they start getting up and really get structure oriented, man, I love to throw a float. I mean, it's just something about it. And, you every day you got on the water, you learn something. And I had some guys a couple of years ago, they said, "Well, what are we going to be doing?" I said, "We're going to be throwing a float and fly." And they said, "What?" I said, "We're going to throw a float and fly. What are you talking about?" I said, "We're going to throw a cork, with a jig on it and work these stumps." And when I finally showed them when we got out there and I learned something on this, they said, "Oh, that's a strike indicator." And I went, "Okay, yeah, a strike indicator. I've never heard a cork call that, but there you go." So we threw a strike indicator with a jig. And, that's one of my favorite ways. I like to see that float go under.
Man, we do a little bit of fly fishing on here since I started hosting, and I always get a good chuckle. The conventional guys just call them bobbers, slip corks, and
Yeah.
but the fly fishermen, they'll, man, I swear they'd jump out the boat before they called it a bobber. But yeah,
Oh yeah, you got to have a technical name.
that's it. That's it. Can't be saying that you're out there soaking a bobber like the rest of them.
I don't know about you, but when we grew up, we fished that Black Warrior River down there around Demopolis and that water's down that way. We just went in what they call dobbing those trees. We would take a minnow, and I'll tell people now, and they'll say, no, you didn't. No, you didn't." I said, "Yeah." I said, you used a porcupine quill that had a little eyelet. It was threaded, had a rubber band on it, and you would adjust that so you could lay it in those treetops real soft with a cane pole. We didn't have a reeling rod. You took a cane. I remember my granddaddy teaching me how to go find the right pole. We'd go to those old bait and tackle stores down there by the river. He said, "Now you got to take this old cane pole and you got to shake it. Get it up there, really shake it." He said, "Oh yeah, that's a good one right here. Here you go." But that's how we fished for them. We got out there and what's called dobbing in treetops. And I didn't know it. We moved up here to North Alabama and saw all these guys out here pulling around out in the middle of the lake. And I thought, well, there ain't nothing out there. But we learned that there's different techniques all over Alabama that you go to catch gravity.
Definitely. No, there's still a handful of guys, and I guess times change. I remember, seems like 10 years ago you saw more. You'd still see some guys out there, with the like B&M fiberglass cane poles. And I
Right.
talked with one fella, and he said, "Man," he said, "what people don't know," he said, "people think you can only fish shallow." He said, "I can fish all the way deep." He said, "This is a 15-foot rod, got 15 foot of line." He said, "You know what I do when I want to fish deep?" And he was fishing deep. He was fishing out in the middle of, middle of the lake in 20, 30 foot of water, which is deep for here where we're at on the river. He said, "You know what I do when I want to get this jig down deeper?" I said, "No." "And what do you do?" And he stuck that pole down in the water. And he said, "Now," he said, "I can go all the way down 30 feet if I want to."
Yeah, you're just putting that pole in the water.
I was like, "That's pretty slick." He said, "Yeah." He said, "You can still feel them hit down there." And now I've got here on my desk right here, mixed in with all my other stuff, my work stuff and my fly tying stuff and my deer hunting stuff. I got a little drawer that's nothing but those little porcupine corks like you were talking about, just
Yeah,
for bluegill
yeah.
fishing. Man, they're the best, because what I think some people overlook is that a fish will come up sometimes in a regular round bobber. You can see if he goes down with it, and you may catch him if he goes left or right with it. But that long skinny float, every now and then you'll be watching that long skinny porcupine quill, and all of a sudden it'll just lay flat on the water and they'll take it and go up with it. And
Yeah,
you catch
yeah.
more fish with something like that. Like, you can see easier if all of a sudden if they start towing it, like soon as it starts to cock a little to one side, you got a fish on the other end of it.
You know,
That's
you got it. It's funny you say that because We do a lot of our we don't have the big bluegill and shell cracker on our Coosa lakes that they do on Tennessee River lakes. But I've learned from fishing, you know, when it starts getting that time where you really going over and catch some big bluegill, they wanna float either about as big as your thumb. They want a little bitty one because they can see that shadow of that float up there, and those big shell cracker, they'll run from that.
Yeah, no, for sure. They'll a small one, and then something that we get down here too, if they're real shallow, on the opposite end of that, sometimes a bigger one that splats when you throw it will call them up. Like if they're up under a mayfly bush or something
Okay.
like that, like they'll be
Yeah,
keyed
yeah.
into disturbance, and they're more aggressive. But I've done it both ways. But usually I like small. Usually I like about as small as I can get away with seeing. And down here on the
Yeah.
backwaters, usually I can get by with a little porcupine quill with a little touch of nail polish up on top of it to give it a hot spot. But man, I'm looking forward to, like you're talking about cane poles now. I've got some here up under my back porch curing that I cut, and that's what I'm hoping. I got a little girl about to be two, and I know she's too
Oh
little,
man.
but I may have to put one in her hands and see what she does with it.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, I love having especially young kids out on the boat with me and with us doing our trolling, we'll have sometimes, you know, 8, 10, 12 foot rods and seeing those kids choke up on that rod and stick it under their arm and go to cranking on it. I mean, that's something to see when you got especially a young one doing that.
Man, watching kids fish is the best. I like to, whenever I can. Mine's not old enough, but I got friends who got kids, and as much fun as fishing is, watching a little kid, like you said, when you see a kid got a 7 foot bass rod tucked up under his arm and he's just working on a little pound bass, like that's better, man. It makes you wish that you could
Oh,
go
yeah.
back, like to that point in time in your life where
Yeah,
that
enjoy
was
that
just,
feeling. Enjoy
no.
that feeling again.
I mean, kids fish, man. When they fish, like they're not thinking back of their head about what they're going to eat for dinner when they get home, or you know, what they're no, not worried about paying their taxes or washing their bed sheets.
That's one of the things when I know that I'm gonna have some youngsters with me, and if we're minnow fishing, you know, throwing a float out there with minnows, I'll take two minnow buckets. I'll put about a dozen in one because they're going to kill them. And then I'll have my other minnow bucket. But I can open that minnow bucket and let them play in it. And they'll have more fun playing in that minnow bucket and grabbing those minnows out of it and catching fish.
It, you know, that's got to be something that they teach you at guide school, because I've heard that from at least three or four different guides, including some saltwater guys, who say that you want to have a separate live well for a handful of pogies or creek chubs or whatever it is,
Yeah.
just to let the kids play with. That's a man. I can't wait to have a little fingers in my bait bucket this year. That's gonna be.
Well, it's
Mom may not
coming.
like it
It's
as much as I
coming.
do, but. Well, man,
I tell you, it's fun.
absolutely. No, I'm excited. I feel like everybody, like it was nice winter while we had it, all that cold weather. That was nice, made for some cool pictures and change of pace. But I think most of us ready for spring. It's been a long winter. Then if people want to get out there on the lakes and book a crappie trip, where's a good place to look you up?
Man, just I tell you what, you can look me up on Facebook, Lee Pitts, and the biggest thing is just give me a call, man. Call me at 256-390-4145, and we'll get you out here on the water and get the fish. And I tell everybody, I said, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but what you see is what you get with me. I mean, we gonna go out here and we country up this way, so we get out and have fun. We enjoy the water, and we're gonna try to put you on the best fish we can. But we have a good time.
There we go. Sounds like a good time, guys. Y'all be sure to check Lee out. Lee, it's always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Man, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you on the water.
Absolutely. And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by. Alrighty, guys, welcome back. This time we're going to talk with Tina Morrison from up in Gadsden. Y'all may remember we talked last year. They do an annual trout stocking up there in Black Creek below Nakalula Falls. Kind of a special opportunity, very seasonal. very, very rare. There's only two trout fisheries here in the state of Alabama, so I always enjoy having Tina on to talk a little bit about it. Tina, how y'all doing today?
Thank you very much for having me, Nick. We are doing great. Loving this warm weather we got right now. A little bit, a little bit better than that freezing cold weather we had a couple weeks ago, but it's still nice and cool enough and good weather to go stand in the creek and do a little fly fishing.
It's got to be better. So I did make it up there last year, and I made it when I went up the fly convention in Atlanta, and y'all had another winter storm up there, and there was ice on the guides on my fly rod. So I did not fish very long that day, but I made the vow to be back, and I'm sitting here clearing my calendar now. It was a pretty place. I enjoyed it. Definitely want to give it another hit. For the people who aren't familiar with it, people who haven't seen it yet, give us a little information about the background. How did y'all start stocking trout up there, and what was the original goal?
I sure will. And what we're talking about here is Black Creek, and a portion of Black Creek is inside Nakalula Falls Park and Campground, and that is here in Gadsden, Alabama, in Etowah County, Alabama. Nakalula Falls Park is owned by the city of Gadsden, and this is a kind of a joint effort that the tourism, Greater Gadsden Area Tourism, and the city of Gadsden partner together. And we each pay for about 1,000 pounds of rainbow trout, and they were actually some really good sized ones in there this year. I would say up to they were all about, I would say between 10 and 12 inches maybe. Some a little smaller, some bigger, but there was actually some decent sized fish in there. So every year, normally around the January time frame, when the waters have gotten cool enough, we partner with the city and we purchase these rainbow trout from Davis Fish Farms, and they come out and empty them into the falls, and they go over the falls. It's quite a sight to see, actually. On our Facebook page, I actually posted that video of the fish being restocked, and we have over 500,000 views on that video. So clearly, it's something that's kind of fun to watch, and it's a great, great service that we provide the fly fishing here in Gadsden. And so, just to give you a quick overview of the rules, you do have to have an Alabama fishing license first, which you can get those online. And then you need to get your trout permit. And I believe you can get that online as well, or you can get that at Nakalula Falls. And that is $10 a day or $35 for the whole season. Now, the season runs from October through June. So really, if you do the math, the $35 is really not that bad for that much fishing. Now, the catch and release used to go until April 1st. I mean, until May 1st. We moved that this year. So the new catch and release date ends April 1st. And then after that, you can harvest 5 rainbow trout a day, but it is catch and release until April 1st.
Nice. Yeah, that's good to be aware of, that little shift in the rules y'all've had this year. What, if you don't mind me asking, what made y'all decide to shift the delayed harvest period?
Well, we want to, the water, the trout can't survive if the waters get too warm. So, the last thing that Nakalula Falls Park needs is, people coming to the trails, people going to enjoy the park, and, witnessing some dead trout on the rocks. It's not good. It's not good for anybody. It's not good for tourism. It's not good for the park. It's not good for the fish. So we moved that up a month to just hopefully harvest a few more during that month of April instead of May, just to avoid any kind of die-off in Nakalula. So it is a partnership, with the park and with tourism. And then also I'd like to give a shout out to Frank Roden with the Rainbow City Fly Fishing Club. He has been very instrumental in helping this project along. And then the other person I'd really like to thank is Representative Craig Lipscomb, who is our state representative. And he provided some of his tourism grant funding to help purchase these rainbow trout. So I would like to thank Representative Craig Lipscomb for his tourism grant, which helped this project.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been to I think I've been to Frank's shop up there, and he had the best selection of boogle bug flies that I've ever seen.
Yeah, he does. He's a sweetheart, and he helps us every year, and we're very thankful for his help. There are also a few rules, of course, that keep this true. You must use fly fish rods only. Fly rods only, one pole, one line per angler. Artificial lures only, barbless hooks only. So there are a few rules, but that is just to be mindful for, the area and the fish. And that's the reason that those rules are set. And we just want to be very mindful of vegetation, bank erosion. We want to make sure everybody, leave no trace, that take any trash with you, and just make sure that you respect that creek and respect that park.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a really beautiful place. Y'all have got a really good trail system there. I came in the long way. I know y'all got steps right there by the falls. I actually came up from, I guess it would be the south end of the gorge and walked in that way. And
Yes.
beautiful place, really easy to access. I actually saw when I was there, saw some deer, saw some foxes running. I saw some guys posting the other day on one of the fly fishing pages that y'all got an otter that's taken up residence in the pool below the pool. So beautiful area, a lot of nature there, and there's a lot of other outdoor activities near Gadsden. What's your favorite place to visit in the area?
Well, I mean, Nakalula Falls Park, you just really can't beat that. I mean, that is such a unique gem to have a park, first of all, with a 90-foot waterfall that's in the city limits of Gadsden. I mean, that's basically unheard of. That park is owned by the city of Gadsden. You would think that it's a state park, but it's a city-owned park. And, they have putt-putt up there. They have the brand new trains, the new platforms. There's so much to do just at that park. The newly renovated campground will be opening up probably around April, and that is going to be so nice with some new pull-through sites, a brand new swimming pool. So that's really going to be awesome too to have that park open up. And then I did want to mention for other fun outdoor things to do. Our website is greatergadsden.com, and there's several different buttons on there where you can find out places to dine and play and stay. And then we've also added a special fly fishing page. So if you go to greatergadsden.com and just look for that drop down on fly fishing, you'll see all the rules for fly fishing. And then also while you're on that greatergadsden.com, you can find some lodging. So if you want to, stay at a campground or a tiny home or some of our we have great hotel options. You're going to find all that on greatergadsden.com.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got a really clean website and all the information there as far as the dates, the online purchase or the online permit purchase and everything. Like I did that last year, and I actually did it sitting at a truck stop on the way up there. Like got my permit just kind of on the way. Super, super easy to do the whole thing. Everybody up there that I talked with at the park was nice, pretty area, lots of stuff to do, some nice little restaurants they got going on there in downtown Gadsden. So folks, y'all be sure to check it out. Tina, you said greatergadsden.com had all the information, right?
That's right. That's where all the information is. And I just want to mention a couple of other quick things too. We're going to be working with the Coosa River Keepers on Saturday, March 8th, and we're going to be doing a free fishing clinic for kids at the Jack Ray Park. We'll be getting some information on that up pretty soon. And then also in March, we're going to be doing for the first time, a free kids fly fishing clinic. And we've got that date tentatively set for March 11th. That's during spring break. So we got something for the kids to do right here at home during spring break. There'll be more information on our website about those two free kids fishing clinics coming up soon, too.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be awesome. I know I've had some conversations in the past with Justin Overton about the Coosa River Keeper Fishing Clinics, and folks, if y'all are looking to get into it, if y'all don't fish, didn't have somebody to teach you growing up. I know I talked with a lady not that long ago, and she said she was trying to get her kids into fishing and didn't know where to start. And a fishing clinic's a great way to do it. You know, you got people who are willing to sit down and teach you how to tie the knots and cast everything, pick a backlash out. So that's an awesome chance to go learn. A lot of opportunities coming on up there. Gadsden's one of my favorite little towns up there. I enjoy every time I swing through Gadsden. I always make sure to stop and
Well,
check out.
thank you so much. We appreciate that. We're trying hard to make it a great place to live and visit. And then one other thing I wanted to mention to you, we just started a new program. So we do a first fish certificate. So if your kid catches their first fish here in Etowah County, just stop by the visitor center at 623 Broad Street and show us a picture. I mean, better yet, bring the kid with you, but show us a picture of him with him or her with their first fish, and we will give them a printed, really nice certificate that they caught their first fish in Etowah County, because we value our future anglers, and we want to keep them here and keep them fishing here in Etowah County.
Man, that is awesome to hear. Well, Tina, always a pleasure talking to you. Appreciate you hopping on the show today.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you.
We're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by Buck's Island. Is a family-owned and operated business since 1948. They have new pontoon boats, bass boats, bow riders, and aluminum boats for sale. They love trade-ins for boats and motors. They can rig your boat or ship your new motor anywhere in the United States. They provide boat service on all kinds of boats, even if they weren't purchased from Bucks. They have factory-trained and certified technicians. Visit them at 4500 Highway 77, Southside, Alabama, 35907 zip code, or give them a call at 256-442-2588. Alrighty, guys. Next up, we got Clayton Batch reporting in. Clayton, what you been up to lately?
Oh, just working and getting ready to start the new year. It's trying to get out here and finally enjoy this beautiful weather we're having.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? I know I'm still deer hunting, and it feels a little weird to be doing it in 70-degree weather, but I was out earlier, and it is nice. It's just t-shirt weather, you know, and the type of weather where you need a little hoodie in the morning. But it's getting to be that most wonderful time of the year, man, where you're wrapping up your deer season and starting your crappie fishing.
That's right. It's time to, you need to be on the water right now. If you want to catch a big one, you call us. Probably the next 2 weeks is probably going to be one of your better chances to do it.
Well, talk to me about it. What's the secret to catching the big ones up here in the early spring?
This is one of the few times you ever hear me say it. I mean, right now I'm fishing shallow, but I'm fishing for not that many bites. You can go offshore and you can't catch numbers again. If you want a chance to catch a big one, we could use a little bit of rain to dirty up that water a little bit. But right now, if you need to be on the hill and you need to be fishing super, super shallow, swimming a jig, just power fishing, fun power fishing, swimming a jig, chatterbait, spinnerbait, flipping, just all the stuff with it before Ford Basin came out that you'd be doing. I mean, and you're not going to get many bites out there right now, but when you do, I mean, you can hang on. This could be a big one. They had a couple of tournaments on the lake last weekend. 27 pounds was first, 24 was second. Just a bunch of good quality fish being caught right now. It's just a good time to be on the lake. It feels good. Sun's out. They're biting. It's a good time to go.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah, you said 27. That's a big bag right there.
Yeah, 27 was first and 24 was second.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think about everybody had 15 pounds. I mean, they're biting.
Man, it's just a different world down here on the river marsh that I'm at with all the saltwater intrusion. I've watched it for years, and 15 pounds for us, a lot of times that's the winter, and it's just crazy that you can drive 2, 3 hours up the road. I guess it's about three, and you can just get into where that's the scraping the bottom of the barrel on the tournaments up there. That's awesome, man. Tell me a little bit. So I kind of missed the chatterbait train when it come out, and I ain't never caught up with it. I've always been a spinnerbait guy in shallow water or a shallow diving crankbait. What's your preferences on a good chatterbait?
It comes down to you better be throwing a normal chatterbait, or either old Beehive made it famous, but you better be throwing one And to be honest with you, you need to kind of stick with that around where there's not as much grass right now. A swim jig on Eufaula is still my go-to when it comes to that grass. It just comes to it better. You don't get hung up as much. That jackhammer, the grass is dead right now, it wants to hang up a lot. But when it's sparse, you can't beat a jackhammer. When you get into the thick stuff, you want to swim that jig.
With your swim jig, are you fishing it naked, or what kind of trailer do you prefer on it?
Sometimes I'll use a rage crawl. Sometimes I'll go with something a little bit less action on it. And sometimes I'll put like a little skinny dipper on the back. I see more of that. As long as you stick like a black and blue or either a white and play with the trailer color, the different trailers on there, that's what makes the difference. They're going to buy one of those two colors. I'd play with the trailer color, not the color, but the trailer style more than I would color on those. Stick with those two colors, get you something with a lot of action, medium action, and then a swimmer on the back.
I like it. We always like to talk a little bit. We like to talk about what the fish are doing right now, and then I always like try to get a forecast for the next couple of weeks. I know it changes, but right now, with everything warming up, we just talked with Lee Pitts. He said he was seeing water temperatures in some shallow areas that were already 65 last week. I know I was fishing; it was 45, and that's what everybody was reporting. What do you think the next couple of weeks is going to look like for us here in the bass fishing world? Are they starting to make their shallow water inroads, it sounds like.
Yeah, they're starting to feed up. And I mean, one of the ones that got caught the other day in that tournament, he had a bloody tail. And I've seen them spawn on Eufaula this early. A bunch of people don't think they do, but I mean, a bunch of them big girls, right when that water temperature gets about right, I mean, they'll get on up there and do their thing and they'll be done. So, I mean, every year when we have a warming trend this time of year, I do see a little spawn. Not necessarily you're not going to see them, but you will catch some fish and they've got bloody tails on them and you know what they're up there doing. And then you got a bunch of those deep water fish, but they don't even know it's getting warm yet. They're still out there real deep and kind of suspended in the timber and out there on the ledges. So, I mean, that's when your vast majority of them are going to spawn. It's going to be, you're into March, middle of March. But it all depends on the weather. And right now up here, everybody, all the farmers are getting ready to get their crops ready, get fields ready, and they're starting to hair up fields. We get one of those rains and it can muddy up Eufaula, I mean, overnight. That's one good thing about Eufaula. You've got to be diverse and willing to kind of adapt to the situation and the current conditions on that lake. The water level plays a huge, huge difference on that lake. Right now, it's at 190. They're shallow. Before they see rain coming, they're liable to drop that water level a foot overnight. If you get around 188, 4 or 5, then that shallow bite, you'll see it disappear more and they're going to get more of that in between. So it's one lake that's hard to predict because there's so many factors that go in to the day-to-day bite over there.
For sure. Well, if anybody can keep up with them, I know it's you. I always appreciate you hopping on the show. I know you're just kicking up the tournament trails this year, so good luck out there. Safe travels, and look forward to having you on again. Always a pleasure.
I do appreciate it. Anytime, and if anybody's interested in the trip, just give me a call, 334-310-8338, or you can find me on Facebook, Lake Eufaula Fishing Guide, Lake Bass.
And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by...
Would your insurance cover an air ambulance and a medical emergency? The fact is, insurance doesn't cover the full cost of medical flights, leaving you and your loved ones at financial risk. But with an Air Medcare Network membership, you can focus on recovery, not on finances, should the unexpected happen. They take care of everything, with no costs for flights, only when flown by one of their providers. Membership covers your full household and starts at $99 a year. Visit gdo.deals/airmedcare to enroll.
Alrighty, guys, last but most definitely not least, we're swinging up to Birmingham to check on Andre Davis. Andre, what's going on in the fly fishing community here in Alabama?
Hello, hello. Well, we have been busy, and some of the stuff, it's, we got events that we're doing here, locally, kind of all throughout Alabama. We've got the fly show up there in Atlanta, where they drew a bunch of us up there to go and buy stuff that we don't need, and maybe do need, but I sure did buy a lot of it that I didn't, and made me awful happy though. And it's good to see everybody up there. So it's cooking, I was just saying it's that time of year. I was coming home from work and I didn't have to have my headlights on, so that's a pleasant change. And we'll talk a little bit more about these water temps. I mean, it's coming back alive. It really is.
Yeah, it's definitely, man, we had them blizzards and it's like we had no winter and then we got all of the winter in about 2 weekends and now it's already spring. We just talked with Lee Pitts. He said he's got 65 degree water temperatures in places where he's at, and it really is. I've been saying it the whole show. It's shorts and t-shirts weather down here where I'm at. So it may be a false spring, you never know. But yeah, but I mean them false springs, they still fish don't know the difference. It fools them just like it fools us. So
That's exactly it. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at 73, 74, degrees in Birmingham. Been keeping an eye on USGS and a lot of our, kind of primary creeks that we have a lot of fun in. They're hovering. A couple of them have broken over 60. A lot of the rest of them are at 60 by this weekend, barring the rain, chilling it down any on Sunday. They'll all be in the 60 degree range. And fish are looking up anyway with the additional daylight. But we're going to add a lot of water temperature to it as well. And I think the approach is, we're not going to get fully out of throwing your streamers, that kind of stuff, but the approach is about to start more heavily including throwing top water around here. We never really stop, to be honest. Well, people stubborn like me don't ever really stop throwing top water, but I mean this is going to really, those foam bugs are going to become king again here real quick.
man, I've been sneaking in a little tine here and there in the evening when I don't feel like deer hunting, and that's something I've been tying up a couple here and there is with that foam that you sent me last year. I've been tying up some little size eight. I call it my frugal bug knockoff because I kind of gets old paying that $8 a pop, and good flies, but just at a certain point you got to save money where you can, and I got a pretty happy pattern that I got here. It's a pretty close approximation of an amnesia bug, if I do say so myself. I meant to make it to Atlanta to sort through some hackle. I've been having a hard time finding exactly what I want for the hackle for the little skirt on the back of it. But I'm kind of glad I didn't go because, man, last time I went up there and like you said, I spent more money than I planned on spending. I planned on just going for business and I definitely it turned into pleasure last half of the day. And the only thing that saved me was that I did not bring a pocket full of cash.
There you go. Yeah, you stand there and look at those booths long enough, you're gonna buy stuff.
You'll find some doodads that you gotta have. You'll
Yeah, I think that between that and the community here, we've got here recently, Mayfly is kicking up around the state. And for those who don't know, the Mayfly Project, we work with foster and adoptive kids across the state. We've got a what they call a project, which is a location where we have, mentors and mentees, which are the kids. We've got a location in Auburn, we've got one in Birmingham, and we've got one in Huntsville. And everybody's starting to getting that time of year. We're all starting to kick up here in Birmingham. Our first meeting is this Saturday, and if the weather holds, it's going to be just great, for those kids and being able to get them out there. We started in January last year, and it was 17 degrees, 1-7 last year. Looks like it's going to be well over 70 degrees this year, so we'll take that. And well, you got everything from that going on. We had our fly tying event that I put on at Cahaba Brewing here in town. We had that just this last Thursday. Had a good turnout, man. I can tell, the weather's getting better. Everyone's looking forward to getting outside. We had, I'd say every bit the better part of 20 some odd people out. Some tied, some didn't. Lots and lots of new people. Got to do a lot of teaching, which is my favorite part of the whole thing anyway. So the excitement, the buzz about it, it's out, it's everywhere. I saw Auburn putting on some stuff over at John Emerald. I mean, just everybody's out there getting after it, and I love seeing it. And the fish, no different. Like you say, whether it's a fall spring or not, these fish, they're out there, they're hopping. The added daylight, they're already starting to look up. The creeks are starting to really fish. I can't promise you that they're going to be incredibly tolerable for very long, at least if you're going to be wet wading. It's up to the individual. Maybe you want some waders for a couple more weeks. Maybe you don't. I'll leave that up to the listener to decide for themselves. Maybe go dip a finger in it. But 60 degrees is heading in the right direction, but it's not warm yet. And but getting out there, you're going to start really hammering some fish right now. And I think you were telling me a little bit about a bug while we're in this transition season right now. I think would do great. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that or not.
Yeah, I'm not much of a tire, but I've kind of got me a little setup here. I got my work desk slash fly tying desk, and I usually in the evening kind of to unwind. I spend so much time staring at a screen. I like to kind of, stare at something analog there for a half hour before I go to bed, kind of decompress. So I've bought me some materials and did some research. I found last summer, late last summer, I found a pattern. It's tied by a guy who fishes out on the like the Sam Houston National Forest, I think, out in Texas, and it's called the Sanjak Nymph, and it's a or I think calls it the Sanjak Squirrel, but it's a big nymph, like size 10 nymph, beadhead nymph, almost like a woolly bugger variant, and it uses squirrel hair dubbing, and it uses squirrel tail, and then he used a coot feather. Because I waterfowl hunt, and I thought that was a nice touch. He wanted to tie with native materials, like the old English guys and the Catskill dry guys did, and everything like that. But I got me some purple Gallinoe feathers to use with it, which is a real special bird that you get here and there in the Mobile Tensaw Delta. So, looking forward to tying that, man. It's just big enough that he says that it works as a small bait fish imitation, but it also works as a big bug. It just kind of looks like food. And I'm looking forward to drifting that thing under an indicator past a few cypress banks we got here. I got some little tannic creeks to hit the swamp, and usually right there where they transition and you go from sandy, clear streams, and then it starts to get a little deeper, darker, starts to hit and mix with that swamp water. And man, here in the next couple months, this time last year, I was crushing some bluegill doing that. So I'm looking forward to it.
I imagine that's going to be really cool. I think you were describing that a bit to me, and I think that sounds perfect. So for anyone listening, right now, still bouncing that across the bottom, you can pick up the pace a little bit now on your retrieve. I was doing a lot of hand retrieves. Or really almost to a certain extent, no retrieve, where I was jigging it with the rod tip and then just picking up the slack, and now you can get back in to really kind of stripping it in, keep that rod tip just below your eyesight, line of sight, and, and give it some pop, pop, pause, and then a slow drag. And, on one of those pauses or on the slow drag, when I say slow drag, I mean, if you're right-handed or left, but your line hand all the way up to the rod tip and then pull it all the way back past your waist. I mean, 3-4 feet, if you can do it, good long pull like that. And they just are tearing that up. That's been one of the most successful for me right now, for all your warm water fish around these small, even medium sized creeks, frankly, all winter long. We got some luck with that, but even when I was out on boats, which for listeners who don't know, I'm typically wade fishing. I'm typically in small, very small, and up to medium sized creeks and the shoal portions of rivers, that kind of thing. But I do like getting out on a boat several times a year. And when we were doing that this year, even on the Coosa, the Tallapoosa, et cetera, pulling those streamers through holes, finding a deeper channel and dropping it all the way down through that was working wonderfully, but frankly, going at the bank with topwater was catching us the most fish. Even on real cold days where it just couldn't have, just kind of going by the book, but it did. And now you can kind of mix the two things up, that little bit faster retrieve where that even then when it's cold, that long pull was kind of the trick. Even if you're going to skate something across the top, long, slow, steady pull with some pops in between, each one of those long pulls. And it's just magic, out there. It's a pretty easy retrieve to teach too. So if either you yourself are newer or you got some of these kids that you're working with, whether it's with the project or just you and your family, it's an easy retrieve to teach and it's just killer right now. So, particularly if you got new folks around you or young folks around you or both, man, it's a great time to get them out there. These fish have been hungry for a while now. And so they're willing to play ball. And, Nick, I think what you were describing would work great. Some of these one bugs, Sam's one bug, if you know what that is, will work great. If you come from the trout world, throw you a chubby Chernobyl, tie up a real simple beetle fly, it's hard to go real wrong. It's a good time of year to kind of play around. Water levels aren't super high yet. You can still see the tread of the creeks, the substrate and what they're made of, where the big rocks are, where the big holes are. So it's a great time to get out there, get eyes on the bottom of that creek before they start to fill up. learn where the sweet spots are for these fish. And these fish are really starting to pay attention and look up to. So you can do a little bit of both discovery and still get really great numbers right now.
There we go, man. I'm excited for it. I've always, my favorite thing about being in the outdoors, I was thinking about this the other day, is every time the seasons change. Like, I'm glad we have seasons, because it'd be mighty boring if it just stayed one season 365 days a year. But those seasons change. You get that nip in the air in the winter, and then you get them first few warm days of spring. And it makes you think back to the last time that happened. And you start, like, I always get this moment where I experience every spring I've ever experienced. Like, I flash back to them. Walk out the door and that sun hits your face, and you just smell bluegill on the bed. Like, you know what's coming. Like, you know, you're fixing to cook some spare ribs, eat some hot dogs with the kiddo on the riverbank, like, go on some boat rides, smell some two-stroke oil. Like, it just hits you all at once, and you're like, man, I've missed this. So, looking forward to it, man. We'll have to make a few trips together this year. It's always good to have you on the show.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to take a quick break. Y'all take a minute to check out some of the businesses that keep this show free for you. This week's episode has been brought to you by... All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, don't forget to text that code ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, it's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list, and we'll send you the promo code via email. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Killer Dock. Combines durability, function, and design to uniquely upgrade your entire dock experience. Visit killerdock.com to see more. Also brought to you by Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks. Manufacture a variety of metal roofing systems to meet your needs. Whether you're putting a new roof on your home or sheeting a commercial building, they have you covered. Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks, your metal roofing headquarters.